Does everybody feel refreshed now after your 1 minute break? Great, okay, good. So we will restart our session with Sean. Blossies?
Yeah.
Not bad, okay. Alternative farming systems, organic matter, and nitrogen, as was just asked about, nitrous oxide.
Yeah, so I'll be touching on greenhouse gas emissions as affected by soil organic matter and different farming systems. And this is some work that I did finishing up my PhD at NC State. So a lot of people are interested in farming systems for their ecosystem services and in trying out different kinds of farming methodologies to tackle problems like erosion, tighter nitrogen cycling, and soil carbon sequestration. And some examples of just farming systems that people have been looking at, organic conservation tillage and unconventional rotation, so things like including a perennial in the mix. But what we were really interested in is the ability of different farming systems to have an impact on nitrous oxide emissions potential. So, as y'all are all aware, greenhouse gas emissions are a huge problem, and agriculture is definitely contributing to some of that forcing from greenhouse gas. About 8.3% of U.S. emissions come from agriculture. CO2 emissions are pretty small, and right now soils in the U.S. are actually a sink. However, with trace gases, methane makes up about a third of methane from agriculture makes up about a third of our methane emissions. And when you look at N2O, which I'll be talking on today, basically most of U.S. nitrous oxide emissions come from agricultural soil management, from agriculture, and in particular, soil management. So in total, that makes about 4 or 5% of our greenhouse gas emissions. And like I said, this is coming from soil management, and in particular use of manures and synthetic fertilizers. This is just a graph showing increase in nitrous oxide emissions over the last 150 years or so, and also correlation and increase in the intensity of use of manures and also synthetic fertilizers. And when you look at where nitrous oxide is actually produced in the soil, of course, it's a biogenic process. Most of this is produced through denitrification of nitrate in these peak events after a rainfall, usually under limited oxygen availability and high carbon availability, which brings me to organic matter. People have kind of an idea that dissolved organic carbon is important, and of course the nitrogen has to be there. But we want to look and see how those relationships change or stay the same across different farming systems, and also looking at different organic matter pools and carbon and nitrogen cycling in soil. And so just kind of the conceptual framework for that is that conventional systems and organic are going to be receiving their input nitrogen in different forms. You're going to have organic inputs, so bolstering organic matter potentially in organic systems, and you're going to have synthetic nitrogen, which will be more rapidly available as inorganic nitrogen for microbes in the soil to be potentially lost as nitrous oxide. So two things, maybe slower release of that nitrogen in organic systems, and also we wanted to see if microbial biomass might actually be a potential sink for some of that nitrogen in organic, since you have substrate for microbial growth in those systems. So we wanted to see if nitrogen cycling is more efficient in organic systems than conventional. And the setting that we did this in was in farms with a legacy of a number of different organic or conventional farming practices. and these go back about 17 years. And we did the experiment in a year of the rotation where most of the management was actually the same between them. And also have data that I won't be presenting today about the impact of actual additions into the system too. So in another year, we had corn and we added nitrogen. So we focus on kind of the legacy history effects of that management. Just to recap, we do know that nitrous oxide emissions are really sensitive to some kind of carbon availability. People know dissolved is important, and also the nitrate. But kind of this, how the cycling of other pools plays in is not as well established. So we wanted to, of course, actually look at these farming systems and just compare them for their potential to emit nitrous oxide. But we also wanted to link those back, kind of more importantly, to the organic matter cycling, to those different carbon and nitrogen pool dynamics. So first, let's talk a little bit about these different systems. Zhao did a good job introducing the Center for Environmental Farming Systems earlier. This is the second talk where we're talking about those. These are all going to be in the annual cropping system, so not in the pasture, but still in this station where these fields have all been managed basically in the same practices since 1999. So there's three conventional, three organic, and they pretty well mirror each other within each of those. So we have a tillage system in both conventional and organic. We have a long rotation, so one of those unconventional rotations I mentioned earlier, where there's 3 years of crops and 3 years of perennial of hay without disturbance. And lastly, there's a zero till in the conventional, and there's a minimum till or reduced till in organic. So I went and sampled in a soybean year of the rotation, so there's a rye cover crop across all of these systems. So same cover crop, same crop, no inputs that year. So the key differences are going to be, of course, the cultivation during the year, but mainly the legacy of farming management. So I've sampled four times throughout the year at the end of the cover crops, in May right after planting, in the middle of the season in June, and then lastly around the time of soy harvest. And so I measured nitrous oxide emission potential in incubations in the lab, went out, collected soil, and measured the headspace gases in these jars on a GC. And for the organic matter pools, to look at carbon and nitrogen dynamics, we measured microbial biomass carbon and nitrogen, extractable carbon, inorganic nitrogen, mineralizable nitrogen, and then total carbon and nitrogen. And now going on to results. So this is a graph just showing the rate of nitrous oxide emissions over time during this incubation. This was about 3 weeks total in the lab. It's that third sampling point that I mentioned in June. And so as you can see, these are just color-coded by the conventional tills, both red, long rotation is green, and no till or reduced till is blue, and then dashed is conventional. So that red dashed line, the conventional with tillage, had considerably higher nitrous oxide emissions in June, and that's where that really sticks out. So this would have been after a couple disking passes there, and you see it's a good bit higher than the organic conventional till at that time, so that blue or red dashed line, red solid line. So pretty similar management during the year, but you know, a history of different management in previous years, especially from inputs. And so at this point, at least, there's a little bit of evidence to support that Microbial biomass nitrogen might be serving as some kind of sink, or at least you have more of that nitrogen in microbial biomass as opposed to free for denitrifiers. This is showing microbial biomass nitrogen at all the sampling dates, but just want to focus on, again, that same June date. Not the lowest, but among the lowest in that conventional with tillage plot, or system, rather. And if we fast forward to, for June CO2 emissions, you see that we have a combination of things. There's both that low microbial biomass and also relatively high for the conventional systems CO2 emissions, so possibly more mineralizable carbon because of incorporation of that rye cover crop. So that's just the red dashed line, higher than the conventional systems there. And if we fast forward to October, again, we're seeing that conventional with tillage had a higher rate of nitrous oxide emissions. But also, you notice that the organic reduced till is higher than the conventional no-till and organic long rotation at that point, too. So that was a little bit surprising just looking at the earlier date. And here, the relationship with microbial biomass nitrogen isn't as simple as low microbial biomass means low microbial biomass nitrogen means high N2O emissions. If we look at both of those, with the higher nitrous oxide emissions, you also have higher medium microbial biomass nitrogen. And so one thing that was actually different about the organic reduced till, these are managed for high cover crop biomass, so they the rye is allowed to grow a good bit later into the spring, so you have something like 7 milligrams per hectare of rye in there, as opposed to between 2 and 3 in the other systems. So we think that maybe that that carbon from the rye might be serving as a fuel source for denitrifiers. There might be some breakdown relatively late in the season, just because it's on the surface. So just to sum up, the tilled conventional systems did see increased rates of nitrous oxide emissions both in June and October. And this might be partially explained by microbial sequestration of nitrogen, keeping that unavailable for denitrifiers. And as I said, the cover crop biomass, these really high biomass systems, the organic reduced till, might actually be serving to increase nitrous oxide emissions, but just late in the season, so maybe after a while of that breaking down into organic reduced till. So that's it for that year. We also have another year looking at the input effects. So you have manures and synthetic fertilizer actually going out before a corn crop. So I'd be happy to talk about that during the break, too. I just want to thank everyone that made this possible at NC State and also on the research farm. And thanks for listening. I'd love to hear any questions if you have. There might be some immobilization going on in some systems, maybe in the organic. There might be a little bit less nitrogen to begin with in those, maybe some leftover in conventional. And that maybe that's why we see that difference between the conventional with tillage and organic with tillage. There should be, you know, more or less similar, relatively similar rye biomass, but maybe there's low enough nitrogen in those to actually make a difference in getting enough immobilization into rye, since it is allowed to grow till pretty late in the season, about April or May, so it's not too green when it's tilled in.
Thank you, Sean.